So last Sunday, we had Joe up here. Joe did a show for us. Joe is our resident professional magician, and that word within Christianity, especially within evangelical circles in Christianity, is kind of an interesting word. It's a lot like Santa Claus. It's kind of one of those things that sort of creates some division lines within evangelical Christianity. But we were talking on purpose. I wanted Joe to do that show for us. Because I had this theme that I was running through the end of 2022 into 2023, and I was going to entitle this message, which was supposed to be preached last Sunday, "Do You Believe in Magic?" And I was playing off the term magi. We get the word magic in our world from the term magi, which is a translation, transliteration. We got a Greek words and Latin words. I'm not going to bore you with all of that because, frankly, there's just a lot going on there. But just understand this, that our words today, the words that we use today aren't always the same. They don't have the same meaning that they always had in ancient times, especially when we were given our Bibles. But that theme that we were talking about, the reason I wanted Joe to open our year, first of all, January 1st, you know, falling on a Sunday, I kind of expected a little bit of an unusual day. You know, I wasn't sure what to expect, especially in a church like ours. I wasn't sure how exactly you would spend your New Year's Eve. I wasn't sure how many of you would show up on New Year's Day, or how many of you would be able to show up on New Year's Day. I did take note of which of you were not here, and making no judgments about why, but that's between you and the Lord. But anyway, we had a good time. We had a good time with that, and we had the kids up and so on. You get the idea, and just having fun with that. But I did postpone this message today because I want to remind you of why. So we had Joe come up here. So the term magic, this word magic, it carries a couple of different meanings in our world. There's two ways we might use that. There's an innocent way we use that. It's the way we would characterize what Joe does. It's the act of using illusions. Illusions to fool people, illusions for fun. You know, to make something appear to appear out of nowhere. You know, that sort of fun thing. It's using illusions to fool people and to have fun, to entertain. That's what Joe does. Joe doesn't stand up here and try to convince any of us that he actually is making something appear out of nowhere. But the other part, the other way that the world would view the word magic is much darker, much more serious, and it's something that we as Christians would have to take a much more serious look at, a much more serious tone with, and that is the use of supernatural powers to affect the natural world. Made popular by wizardry and witches and more recently made very, very popular through books like Harry Potter series and things like that and of course, again, Christianity would be divided a lot on all that and where you come down on all that. But here's the concern, and I know a lot of Christians would be concerned about how much you dabble in that, how much of that you watch and how much of that you expose yourself to. But here's the bigger concern for me. The biggest concern that I would have for that is more about how many Christians would not even believe that that's a real thing. That there really is a supernatural power out there in these powers of darkness. That they would not believe that that's a real power. So I want to talk about that today. As we move into 2023, I want to leave that word magic for a moment, because the word magic, again, it brings out a different connotation. It brings out some baggage with it. Let's use some more Bible words. Let me talk to you a little bit about some. Let's use some different words. Let's use some biblical words. This concept, some biblical words that describe this use of supernatural powers in humanity that use it, supernatural powers being used in the natural realm or in the natural world. And this is very, very important for the church to understand and know the difference between the innocence of what we enjoy with what, for example, with what Joe does versus what we're talking about today. So let me show you some examples. The book of Acts, chapter number 5, we find that the disciples, the apostles rather, there are 11 apostles remaining. Of course, Judas has betrayed Jesus. Judas has hanged himself because of all that. We read that story oftentimes at an Easter season. And so the apostles are left. Jesus has given power to. He has empowered his apostles, the 11 apostles, Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Matthew, all of those. He has given them some power that he had. And so let's read this. And by the hands of the apostles were many, notice these next two nouns in this sentence, signs and wonders. Now, you'll recognize these words. We actually talked about these. These are the same kind of words that we find actually at the beginning of our Bibles when we speak about which God used about himself, when he spoke about how he would use the stars. He would use these are words that God used with himself. He said he would make signs and wonders. These are miraculous things. These are supernatural things that God would use. Now, and so in this case, Jesus bestowed upon the apostles abilities that are outside the scope of the natural realm so that they could prove they were his followers. These would be things like healings. They would allow them to be able to heal people, and we would use words like miracles and healings, signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So these are things that Jesus allowed his apostles to do. He didn't give these abilities to anybody else, but he gave those to his apostles, these 11 apostles that were left behind, that Jesus said, this is how you're going to begin the church. You're going to build the church, and I'm going to give you credibility among the people. I'm going to give you these abilities. I'm going to bestow upon you the ability to do these things. Now, here's the problem, and here's where I'm going to need all of you to... You're going to need to kind of look at the people seated next to you and make sure that their seatbelts are fastened. Tray tables up. There's going to be a little turbulence here. Because Jesus is not the only one, not the only being going to bestow these kind of powers upon human beings. You say, well, wait a minute. You mean there are other beings going to have the same ability to bestow upon humanity these kind of powers? Yeah, how do I know that? Because Jesus himself is about to tell us that. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, Jesus himself tells us, he said, please understand that when I leave, there will arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great, look at the next two words, the next three words, great signs and wonders. Exact same words, meaning the exact same things. Signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, what's he talking about? He is saying there are going to be other entities that will also be able to do these kinds of signs and wonders, and they will allow humanity to be able to show these same things. This is where Paul came along one day and said, hey, understand something, that Satan himself is able to transform himself into an angel of light. So don't marvel that his followers will be able to transform themselves also. He said, don't be surprised by that. Don't be surprised that they can disguise themselves as angels of light, do the same things that I do. You know, Satan has always been a counterfeiter. Right? He's always been a counterfeiter. Always tried to mimic the things. And it's always going to be that way. It's going to be that way at the end. You know, many of you like the end of the Bible better than you like the beginning, right? You love that book of the Revelation. You love those end time things. And what's all that all going to be about? It's all going to be about anti this and anti that, right? Well, anti is the opposite. It's that counterfeiting of everything. So this is Jesus saying, look, just understand this. Jesus said, I'm going to give you power. He's talking to his apostles. He said, I'm going to give you power to do these things. You're going to be able to do these signs and wonders. But understand, there are others going to be able to do these things as well. Hey, church, the church needs to know the difference. Amen. See, it's all about where the power comes from. It's all about where the power comes from. And let me just say, whenever God gave power like this to any human being, God has done this in times past, all through the scriptures. God has at various times given power to men, to do supernatural things. You understand the word? Don't be afraid of the word supernatural. It just means above nature. It means outside the bounds of nature. When God gave supernatural abilities to a man or to a woman, it was for a very specific thing, for a very specific time, and that person did not step outside the bounds of what God said to use it for. God never just gifted a person with supernatural abilities and said, you do whatever you want to with it. That's what's wrong with televangelism. Amen. That's what's wrong with modern day apostles. God didn't say, I'm going to give you some power, you do what you want to with it. See, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people. That doesn't mean that humanity has not been given supernatural powers from time to time. That doesn't mean there aren't dark spirits working in this world. You say, what are we supposed to do? Well, John said it this way. John said, this is why you have to learn to try those spirits. John chapter 4 and verse number 1. This is why John the apostle, in his later years, he said, beloved, you've got to understand in this world, there is this kind of thing going on. He said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And I always thought this was a funny verse because I can see a lot of people saying, yeah, I try the spirits every Saturday night. Not the kind of spirits he's talking about. Try the spirits. That means put them on trial, whether they are of God. I'll tell you how you know if they're of God. Did God ordain, did God direct how they're to be used, how this power is to be used and how it's not? And I'll tell you how, you know, God told the apostles how to use them, when to use them, where to use them, what to do with it. But using this stuff at one's whim has never been the way God has never said, hey, Tom, I'm going to give you some special abilities. You do with it what you want to. That's never been God's way of doing this. He said, try the spirits and see whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. So, child of God, it's time for the church to understand these spirits are real. But understand, the Holy Spirit is not the only one speaking out there. Amen. Hey, the Holy Spirit is not the only one speaking out there. Be careful who you're listening to. Be careful who you're listening to on YouTube. Amen. Be careful who you're watching on YouTube. Be careful what and that goes for music, where you go to church. Amen. You should pay attention to what I say. And you should be careful about what I say. Amen. Do you know the greatest compliment any church ever got? It's called the church at Berea in the book of Acts. The Bible says the church at Berea, they listened to what their preachers were saying, and then they went home and they dug into their Bibles and they said, let's see whether or not what they say is so. You shouldn't just take what I say as if I know everything. Amen. No, I do know everything. No, I don't. I'm serious. Amen. I'm serious. Now, I promise you this. I will never stand up here and lie to you. And I will never stand up here and purposely tell you something that I know not to be true. And I will never stand up here and come up here and not be prepared. Everything that I preach to you, I believe I have studied. This study that I'm getting ready to give to you this year. I hate this thing standing here. I promise you, I have spent the last year preparing for what I'm going to teach you in 2023. This study that I've been teasing you with, taunting you with, preparing you for, telling you that I have spent a year studying this. I am prepared. I'm still not ready. I'm going to launch it in 2 weeks, but I am as prepared as anybody could ever be prepared. It doesn't mean that I know everything, but I never come up here unprepared. But that doesn't mean I'm always right. It's your job, and it's our deacon's job, and it's every Christian's job to make sure that what I tell you is biblical. Now, that doesn't mean you should go and try to pick apart everything that I say and try to find something wrong with everything I say and try to, shut up. I'm talking about if you find something that I say that is unbiblical because you've actually studied it out and in context, you can find something wrong with it, you tell me. And those of you that have been around here long enough, you know there have been times when I've gotten up and said, hey, I taught you something that was wrong. Yes, sir. Yep. You've been here long enough, know I've done that. Yep, that hasn't happened very often, but I've done it. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I would do it again if I teach you something that I believe is wrong. Yes. And there are times when I learn more and then I clarify things. But listen, we be careful. Be careful, because not every spirit, the Bible talks about evil spirits, lying spirits, seducing spirits. There's all kinds of spirits out in this world. The point here is, the point that is being made here, Jesus himself said, there are powers in this world that are behind the things that you're hearing, behind the things that you're seeing. I'll get to that here in just a minute. The Holy Spirit's not the only one, not the only spirit that's speaking. So let me give you some examples here. We're going back to this word. We talked about the word magic. It doesn't always mean exactly the same thing as it does today. So let me give you some examples of this supernatural being used in the natural world. We're going to go back to the book of Exodus here in just a moment. Let me take you back. We could go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, but let me take you back to the book of Exodus, to the time when the Israelites were in Egypt. The Israelites had been taken captive by the Egyptians. They were enslaved in Egypt, and God called Moses. He said, Moses, I want you to go into Egypt. I want you to go to Pharaoh. I want you to tell him to let my people go. He's going to tell you no. He likes my people being enslaved. He likes my people, building his buildings and building his empire and doing his crops. He's going to tell you no. Moses said, God, I'm really not very eloquent. I can't. He said, don't worry. I'm going to tell you what to say. He said, well, I don't have any credibility with him anymore. God said, I'm going to give you some signs and wonders. I'm going to give you some things to be credible. Moses had a rod in his hand, a stick. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You take that rod with you. You're going to throw it on the ground. This is God speaking, Moses, I'm going to cause that rod to become a snake. Literally, physically, in reality, it's going to turn from being a stick to a snake. All right, so let's pick up the story. Exodus chapter 7, verse 10. Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh. They did as God commanded. Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before the servants, and it became a serpent. Now, this is a supernatural event, yes? This is God doing what we would call a miracle. Now, how many of you have heard this story before growing up in church? All right, so you know the story. Let's read the next verse. Pharaoh called the wise men, the sorcerers, now the magicians. Now, time out. How many of you grew up in church? You heard this story as a kid? I heard this story as a kid, and this is how it was always portrayed to me. See the word magician there? This was always portrayed to me that this magician was just like Joe, just like our Joe. These were tricksters. These were illusionists, and they were able to perform a trick and turn that stick into it. And look, and that's how I always thought it was. That's what I always thought. These guys were able to, on the spot, well, they had tricks. They had, nothing up my sleeves, sleight of hand. Pretty amazing trick to be able to do on the spot. This was not an illusion, folks. Let's continue reading. They did like manner with their enchantments. So they cast down their rods and they became serpents. This was always portrayed to me as like what Joe does. Just a simple trick. Just a simple magic trick. I asked Joe this morning. I said, Joe, who's the best, quote, magician? By the way, the word magician there, the way we use it today, that's what we think of, right? See, we read our Bibles as 21st century, modern day, New Testament, American Christians. That is not how an ancient Israelite, by the way, it was ancient Israelites that this book was written to. They wouldn't have read that as a magician doing illusions. They would have read that completely different. That's what this message is about. These were enchantments that they did. They were calling on a dark power, enchantments. And so they cast down their rods and they became serpents. I asked Joe, I said, who's the best magician in the world today? Who's the best modern day magician in the world today? And he said, David Copperfield. All right. I was thinking, who's the classic story book about? Who is it? It's David Copperfield too, right? Right? Well, that's what I thought. But that was also David Copperfield? Okay, all right. Well, I'm glad I was right about that. So David Copperfield, a little boy in a book. So anyway, he couldn't do that on the spot. If we brought him in here, he couldn't do that on the spot. That takes months of preparation. But let's just leave that for now. Let's move on. So this was just the first thing. Let's move on. It didn't end there. Look at chapter 8, verse 6. So Pharaoh wasn't convinced. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up, covered the land. So Aaron put his hand out over the water, and thousands and tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of frogs came up out of the water. Watch now. That's quite a miraculous feat that God performed, wasn't it? Frogs came from everywhere. Now, and the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Do you still think this is a trick? Look, this is not... Watch, folks. I told you, this gets a little... Isn't it an amazing thing? You know what's an amazing thing to me? Christians, modern-day Christians like us, if you're getting uncomfortable, we're very selective with our acceptance of the supernatural. We love, we embrace the resurrection. What is more supernatural than the resurrection? I know I'm messing up the video, Joe. What is more supernatural than the resurrection? We embrace that. We love that. That's the foundation of our faith, is it not? What's more supernatural than the resurrection? We love that. We sing about that. That is the greatest thing we've ever heard before. But I start talking to you about a power behind this power, behind these things, and I start suggesting that this isn't a trick by a magician, and suddenly you're like, Pastor, you're making me uncomfortable. Well, I told you to put your seatbelt on. Well, can't we just talk about prayer? Yeah, we can talk about prayer. Did God put this in the Bible to hurt us? Talk to me. Tony, did God put anything in the Bible to hurt us? Nope. Or did he put it in there because he wants us to know it? He wants us to know it. You know something? God deserves for us to know what has happened in the world that he created that got messed up. God deserves for us to know the things he did that people and other beings have messed up that have hurt him. Amen. God deserves for us to know what has happened to the world that he created that was so beautiful and so perfect, and it got messed up and it hurt him deeply. We are so concerned sometimes, I'm getting ahead of myself, and this is but just to let you know where we're headed. We are so concerned about being so needy that we have forgotten about the fact that there was a reason why God created us. Did it ever occur to you that maybe God needed us? You don't create something unless you need something. So, well, how can God need anything? Why else would God make something if he didn't need something? Billy, you're a fabricator, right? Did you ever just make something and say, wonder what I'm going to do with that? That'd be pretty stupid. Nobody ever just makes something and then says, wonder what I'm going to do with that. You only make something if you have a purpose for it. Let's leave that for a minute. Here's the point. There's a power behind this. These magicians were able to bring frogs up also. There's a power behind them. There's a power working behind them. I'm going to show it to you in just a minute. There's a power working behind them. You've got Moses and Aaron, and there's a power that's Yahweh, by the way, who's working behind them to bring frogs up, but there's another power who's able to match that and is also bringing frogs up. Watch verse number, let's move on though. Verse 16. Now we're going to get into it. Now we're going to find out, though, the real difference, though, between these powers. The Lord said to Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out your rod and smite the... And by the way, God is well aware of what these other powers are able to do and what they're not.
Amen.
He's toying with them.
Amen.
Stretch out your rod, smite the dust of the land that it may become lice. And by the way, God's also toying with the Egyptians. He said, oh, yeah. Yeah, frogs don't crawl into your hair. You thought the frogs are bad? You thought the frogs were a nuisance? Try this one. Try this on for size. Lice. All the dust became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Not on the Israelites, just on the Egyptians. Lice in their hair. Lice on their bodies. Verse 17. And they did so. For Aaron stretched, and by the way, I believe, I can't prove it, but I believe that what was happening here, every time Aaron did something, what he did, the frogs would go after the Egyptians. The lice went after the Egyptians. The Egyptian magicians, when they did the frogs, they tried to go after the Israelites, make their lives miserable. But watch. They tried to make lice, so they did so. And Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, smote the dust of the earth, and became lice, and man, and beast, and dust of the earth, and so forth. Verse 18. The magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not fail. Now, I ask you a question. If these were magicians like Joe, and they were just doing illusions. If the snake was an illusion, the frogs were an illusion, they knew they could do that, right? If it's an illusion, yes? Yeah. Joe, when you do an illusion, you know you can pull it off, right? If you know you can pull it off, you'll do it, right? But if you know it's an illusion and you know you can't do it, you're not going to try. You follow me? Yeah. You're not going to, if you know it's an illusion, and you know you can't do it, you're not going to do it, try in front of people and fail. This is not an illusion, folks. They didn't know that snake would, they didn't know that stick would become a snake. They just appealed to their power, and they were glad when it did. They appealed to their power, and they were glad the frogs came out. They appealed to their power, but it didn't work. They were just the first people to know their dark power behind their enchantments could not bring lice forward. And watch what they said in verse number 19. The magician said to Pharaoh, read it with me. This is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. You know what they were saying? Their God is stronger than our God. We can't match this. Their God's the real deal. Their God's the Almighty God. Their God is not letting our God do this one. See, the power behind their enchantments was real, but limited. And church, the powers that are at work in this world are real, but limited. They're limited. The God you serve is the Almighty. Amen. He's the Almighty. He's the one who controls the others. He's the one who is more powerful than the others, but the others are real. There are other powers at work in this world. They are real, but they're limited. That's the point of all of this. That's what we have to understand. You see, and we could read about this. I'm gonna stop there. But we could read about this all through the Bible. How many of you know the story of what happened on Mount Carmel with, you have Elijah? Yeah. You remember Elijah?
Yep.
And then you have 450 prophets of Baal. See, we think it was Elijah versus 450 prophets who were bowing down to a statue. We think that was just a statue. Well, no wonder that statue. No, it was not a statue. There was a real power that those prophets were appealing to, but there was a much stronger power that decided whether or not that power could send fire down on that altar. You serve the Almighty God. But you have to choose to do that. I have to choose to do that. Everything from the beginning of time, it has always been a choice. Which God? Why do you think that Moses one time drew a line in the sand and said, choose you now who you're going to serve? Who's on the Lord's side? Actually, it was Joshua that said, choose you now. Moses one time drew a line in the sand and said, who's on the Lord's side? Joshua later said, choose you now who you're going to serve, the gods on this side or your God. It makes a difference, folks. It makes a difference. But it's a real choice. It's not a choice between the God you cannot see and a statue. It is a choice between a God you cannot see who is an all-powerful God and a real dark power. And this world right now is choosing some real dark powers. They just don't know it. But you and I need to know this. You and I need to know this. And we need to stop messing around with some of these dark powers that we don't realize we're messing around with. Some of you are saying, well, boy, you're so melodramatic today. This is serious business, folks. This is really serious business. And here's why. Because these dark powers have infiltrated religion. They've always infiltrated religion. It's always been about religion. It's always been about that. You say, well, I just think the church ought to just talk about prayer. Well, that's funny because I think God actually wants us to talk about this. Let me show you why. Ephesians chapter 3. Let me show you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Here's what Paul told the church. He said, I'm going to tell you something. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, time out. This is a little complicated verse, isn't it? This is one of those verses that when we read through our Bibles, this is what a lot of Christians do. They read through this verse and they say, man, there's some big words there. Now to the intent and principal, heavenly, manifold, that's in my car. See, I know that's a car part, Kurt. I know that's a car part. So you stay out of this. I was at Kurt's house yesterday taking a pride beatdown. Guy knows everything about everything. Did you ever go and be around somebody, you felt good about yourself until you were around them for a while? It's like, I thought I knew a lot of stuff, and this guy knows everything. I hate you. I hate you now. Sorry. We got to get that out of this video. Seriously, the guy knows everything. And he can do everything. What was I talking about before I kicked him out of the church? I'm going to find a reason to get rid of him. No, it's like a lot of big words in this verse. I love you, Kurt. I really do. I just don't like you. But there's a lot of big words. Let's don't bypass this verse because it's got a lot of big words in it. Let's find out what it means. To the intent that now under the principality, that means and powers in heavenly places. There's principalities and powers in heavenly places. In other words, he's not talking about just the powers here. He's talking about there's some powers in a place not here, right? There's some powers in a heavenly place. There's powers here, and there's powers there. Might be known by the church. In other words, there's something that God wants the church to know that's going on there, but he also wants them to know what's going on here. In other words, he wants to use the church to teach them something. What does he want to teach them? The manifold wisdom of God. Now let's finish the thought. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, God has a big purpose that Jesus is the central figure for. Jesus is the key player in God's big purpose. God's big plan. Jesus is the big deal. And he wants to use the church to show not just the church, but he also wants to show this heavenly host. He wants to show these powers that are up in heaven what the real deal is. Because right now, they don't seem to get it either. So what is he really saying? Well, he finishes this thought in the chapter 6 of Ephesians. He said, so church, here's what you need to understand. Here's what I need to understand. Chapter 6 and verse 11. He said, so understand this, Tom. Understand this, Josh, Tim, Julie. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your fight's not with your spouse. Your fight's not with your child. Your fight's not with your neighbor. It's not with that person beside you, behind you, in front of you. Your fight's not with your boss. Your fight's not with your president.
Nope.
Or your speaker, whoever that is. I know it got settled finally. Your fight's not with anybody in flesh and blood. If they're walking around in a meat sack, they're not your fight. Your fight is with a principality, a power, rulers of the darkness of this world. This world, but wait, but it's also the rulers of the darkness of this world, but it's also against spiritual wickedness in high places. The powers of that world we cannot see, they're influencing the powers in this world.
Yep.
Your fight is not with a politician in Washington. Your fight is with the power that is moving that power in Washington.
Amen. That's right.
Your fight's not with your spouse. It's not with that person that is your antagonist here. It's the power that is behind the power that is moving that person.
Amen.
It isn't with them. It's not with that crowd. It's not.
Nope. Amen. Preach it.
You don't have an enemy here. You don't have an enemy here. All you got is a pawn here. All you got is a hand puppet here. Our fight as a child of God, you're hated not by people here. You're hated by people in this other realm because God has already told them, I'm going to use this church to teach you a lesson. They know that God is ticked at them. I'm going to show you this in this Bible study. This realm that you and I cannot see that God has already pronounced judgment on, they know it. You're going to know it. I'm going to know it because we're going to study it. But they are already aware that God is going to use humanity to teach them what they failed to learn when God dealt with them directly. And that is why they're acting out in this world. And that is why they want your marriage broken up. That is why they want parents and children to fight with each other. And that is why they want church members to fight with church members. And that is why they want adult parents to fight with their adult children. That is why they want so many religions on this. You want to know why we've got all these cults of religions? You want to know why we've got so many different religious messes upon the face of this earth? Because that breeds confusion, and that just is that much harder for God to prove a point.
Yes. Yep. Amen.
I want 2023. Here's what I want for 2023. I want New Hope, Delaware to stand up for God.
Amen.
And say, God doesn't deserve this. Because God made a world. He made a creation. Creation failed him.
Amen.
He didn't fail creation. Creation failed him. And I'm talking about a creation before humanity came along. It failed him. And so he then made humanity to try to make something that would give him something that he was deserving of. And then humanity failed him. God has never gotten what he deserved. Never. God's never had a creation that gave him what he deserved. Instead, what God gets is God gets a creation that turns around and sticks its middle finger up at him and blames him for everything. Blames him for all the genocides of the world, and blames him for all the problems in the world, and blames him for being cruel and being mean and being harsh and for judgment. Blames him for everything. Look, does God not get the blame for everything? Well, why would God create so many bad things? Why would God let bad things? God doesn't let bad things happen in the world. They say, why does God let so many bad things happen in the world? Well, I want to ask you a question. Why does God let anything good happen in the world? I mean, the truth of the matter is, God is holy and righteous and perfect and loving. He doesn't have to let anything good happen in the world. God could just wipe out the entire world. Angels and all. Celestial beings and all. He could just let it be him. And then he wouldn't have any problems. And then it would be, but I think he'd be lonely. That's not what he wants. He's never done a wrong thing ever. And he gets a bad rap all the time. Even in this book, where people pick it apart and say, well, you see right there, he told them to go in and kill everybody in that city. What a horrible God that is. I'm going to show you in the next few months why that is. And you're going to come away from that, if you're here for it, you're going to come away from that realizing that's not a hateful God. That there is a really, really, really good reason why he did that. He was not being unjust or cruel or mean or anything else. In fact, that is the only thing that a loving God could do right there. And I'll prove that to you if you're here to watch it. So, I don't even know where to go with this from now. All I know is, people of New Hope, I hope we're going to take a stand for God and say, God, we believe that you are the Almighty. Amen. You are the Almighty. All these other things we read about, all these other powers, all these other darknesses, the Bible calls them gods. They're not you. They're not you. They're real. They're not you. I don't know about you. That was my theme. I believe. I believe. I believe. I hope you do too.